This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. This is an eventful day in our state, and it could be a more eventful weekend with Barry on the way, likely to be Hurricane Barry. Yesterday, we visited with meteorologist John Weatherby in Atlanta, and he is with us again. And, of course, we know more now than we did 24 hours ago, but yet there are some things that remain uncertain. How uncertain is the path of Barry, John Weatherby?
Not terribly concerned about the path, because this is so wide, because it's such a messy storm. Using the word messy, meaning it's not very well constructed, not very well organized. So the exact track has shifted a little bit as we've gone through the last 24 hours, but not dramatically. I think that's not going to be the big concern. Jim, good morning, first of all, and hi, everyone, and I hope everybody's ready for a very wet weekend. So right now, wherever you are, it is likely that it's a very lovely morning. You're seeing some sunshine. You're seeing hot and humid conditions. Your local meteorologists have been talking about what's coming your way, and already we're starting to feel the effects of Barry on some of our coastal communities. Grand Isle already has a lot of flooding. We've had flood warnings the last couple of days, of course, throughout southeast Louisiana, and more locally heavy rainfall is on the way. Let's give you the latest statistics, and we'll get another update in less than an hour. But Barry still has just about a little bit of strengthening yesterday. It's now started to turn just a little bit, west-northwest at 5. We expect more of a northwest turn as we go through the day, perhaps eventually coming ashore and then becoming northerly as it goes through the state of Louisiana. Pressure's fallen just a little bit. We're not expecting a lot of strengthening, but as Jim mentioned, it is very possible that Barry could be a hurricane at landfall. Much more concerned about the effects. Much more concerned about the dangerous storm surge, which has already begun and has flooded many communities. Vermilion Parish is dealing with a lot of extra flooding right now. Plus, around Barry's general circulation, low energy called...
Okay, you're starting to fade on us just a bit, John, but we're going to try to get you to a better place, and certainly want the information from John Weatherby. And then we'll go to Lamar White, who's based in New Orleans, which is a city, of course, that's weathered many storms through the years and is ready for another one, if you can ever be ready for something like this. John, please continue. You were talking about Vermilion Parish and other communities already being affected by storm surge. That could be the biggest threat.
Especially today and tonight. And all of the activity of Barry is south of the general circulation. Eventually, all that activity will pinwheel around the east side of the storm, and as it makes landfall, that's the incredibly heavy rain that we're expecting. A lot of folks are comparing this to the flood of 2016, and that's not a bad comparison at all, simply because there's nothing really steering Barry, pushing him along. Jim, let me get you this example. If we get landfall midday Saturday, Barry's remnants will only be in the center of Louisiana Saturday midnight. Barry's remnants will be in south-central Arkansas Sunday midnight. There's not a lot of movement here. Put it another way, once the rain starts, it may not stop until Monday. There may not be a lot of hourly rain, but it just will keep building and building and building. So our message today is the storm surge, which has already begun, a vortex, which is beginning to rotate around the circulation and will bring some very heavy rainfall to New Orleans this afternoon and this evening, and then the continuing rain that's expected across Louisiana as Barry parallels the Mississippi River, already at major flood stage, with another foot of water possible. That's just absolutely incredible, and this is a big disaster about to happen. Everybody needs to be alert and ready for a very wet weekend, sir.
Well, thank you, John Weatherby, the perfect name for a weather man, a meteorologist.
It's my real name, too.
It was destiny. But thank you, John, and amid the frivolity about your name, and it's a great name, we do have a great storm on the way, and we want to make sure
everybody be safe, Jim. Thank you, sir.
There you go. Thank you. We're joined now by Lamar White, who at the age of 37 has weathered a few storms from his home perch when he was a young lad in Alexandria. You know what it's like. But now he is in New Orleans. He is at the center of the universe for when it comes to major episodes of this type. And Lamar, I hope everything's okay.
Everything's great. And by the way, it's an aptonym is when your last name matches your profession.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he jump in there and make that point.
Yeah, well, I didn't think he changed his name, and enough, guy named Weatherby's got to be a weatherman, and he is.
Right.
But Lamar White, you and the citizens of New Orleans have already braced through some interesting times this week. How is it where you are? I think you're in the Broadmoor area. How is it there?
Yeah, everything's hot. I mean, I'm high and dry right now. As you mentioned, I grew up in Alexandria, and believe it or not, I mean, there was street flooding all of my life in Alexandria. It's something I'm used to. So it wasn't, for me, it wasn't that I understand the trauma for folks that lived through Katrina and having to being re-traumatized by the flooding, the street flooding. But it was pumped out within hours, within 2 or 3 hours, and we've been dry ever since.
Well, the big issue with this one, in addition to storm surge, is that the storm is not moving very fast, so it could just hang out there for a while, which means this unbelievable amount of rain that will accumulate, and that often induces flooding. And the governor and everybody else is saying be careful, because it could be a repeat of 2016, and here in Baton Rouge, that was a historic event and one we'd like to forget. And this one may not reach that level. Hopefully it will not, but we always have to prepare for the worst.
Right. I mean, and I think it sounds like Baton Rouge could probably get more rain than New Orleans. So, the attention is always on New Orleans because the nation knows New Orleans, sort of conflates the entire state of Louisiana with New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like the real targets of this will be people living in far-flung areas, low-lying areas, and outside of the city of New Orleans.
Well, if anyone would like to join the conversation, and I'm sure many listeners are at home today because they are preparing for this to happen, and all the statewide offices, city offices, and university offices are closed. And the number is 877-217-5757, and you can reach us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Yesterday, we visited with Mark Ballard of The Advocate, and as you know, Lamar, quite often political leaders are judged by how they react in times like this. It's something that really defines a lot of people, for better or worse, and sometimes unfairly, as we saw with Kathleen Blanco. But John Bel Edwards is doing this, and there is an election 3 months from today, and you can bet that there will be people, no matter what he does, who will be criticizing him for whatever happens this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Republican Governors Association is still on TV with ads criticizing him. But there's nothing right now, and he's demonstrated nothing but complete competence. So I think that people should be rest assured. And the same thing can be said about Mayor LaToya Cantrell as well.
And I think here in Baton Rouge, Mayor Sharon Weston Broome has handled it well. And Bobby Jindal, when he was governor, that was one of the things he did well. He often rose to the occasion, and of course he could recite all kinds of parameters about a storm.
Right.
Like few other people in record time. And he did a good job in that
room. Well, there was the sand berms stuff. And he probably deserves a little criticism for building those sand berms. But other than that,
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
877-217-5757 for Lamar White. Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mr. White. I am, being that you all are, and your sentiments towards President Trump, I'm just waiting, when are you going to blame him from this storm? Somehow you seem to be able to connect him to every malady that happens in the world. I'm just waiting for that to be the case this morning with you two guys. Have a great day.
All right. Well, thank you, Gustavo. Appreciate your comments.
Let's see. How do I connect this and blame Donald Trump for this?
Well, let's see how Donald Trump handles it. But he's declared a federal emergency, and the president got justified criticism for what happened in Puerto Rico. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And hopefully he won't be throwing paper towels around when he arrives in Louisiana. But it's quite likely he will be here soon, as he should be, as the president of the United States and the leader of the free world. I suspect we'll see Donald Trump here very soon in our state. We're visiting with Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief, and some great stories at that location about what's going on with the storm. Usually he covers politics, but of course this supersedes everything. And we'll talk with him about Barry and about the political winds when we return. 877-217-5757 is your number. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and be safe wherever you are. And let's hope and pray that things go well with what is likely to be Hurricane Barry. At the Bayou Brief, which is the home of our guest, Lamar White, Lydia Nichols puts it this way: there's something about the way we live in New Orleans, tucked between storm surge and river levees, a bay we call a lake, a mighty river, and an artificial waterway we built between the two to facilitate industrial expansion, under bridges and cross canals where we dance through the streets, paint murals of us dancing through the streets, have panels about us dancing through the streets, and overpriced galas, luncheons, exhibition openings where we schmooze and shimmy, held together by a relatively unchanging calendar of festivals and carnival. There's something about the way we live in New Orleans, considering the time and place, that's oddly comfortable most of the year, until the floods come and sweep us into reality. The glaciers are melting, the heartland is flooding, temperatures are rising, and it all comes down to us, to here. And for those who would rather believe that climate change is not an issue and the episodes we're having more frequently, I think it's quite apparent that there is something going on, Lamar, that is not very pleasant.
Absolutely. I think that it really is the story here. It's not about a tropical storm or a hurricane or a Cat 1 hurricane. It's about the frequency of these events, one in 500 year events, these flash flood events like the one that happened here in New Orleans on Wednesday morning, where there were 7 inches of water in an hour. We see this happening more regularly, and there's nothing you can do to really prepare for that. You can't evacuate an entire city over a flash flood event. You know, what happened in Baton Rouge in 2016 is another good example. There was really no warning.
Blanchard,
so we have to confront that.
In Prairieville. Blanchard in Prairieville, you're on Talk Louisiana with Lamar White. Hi, Blanchard.
Hey, good morning. I was hoping that your conversation with Gustavo could have been continued, but I realized that would be a dead end. Anyway, I just found it interesting that people have that sort of perspective. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Blanchard. Well, Gustavo is, I get frequent missives from him, and he is a supporter of the president. And Lamar, if polls are accurate, he's in the majority in Louisiana. And of all the things that have been happening about the president, as we segue a bit to the political realm, in the last few weeks, it's been just another 2 weeks in Trump world with him being accused by a woman of rape. And let's go on from there. It's Jeffrey Epstein, who is an associate of his, is facing terrible charges. His labor secretary gave Epstein a break, a huge break, an unfair break in prosecuting him. And yet our delegation, it's crickets when it comes to commenting on anything about the president that would be of a critical nature.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen recent data that suggests that that his favorability in Louisiana has decreased more substantially than people may think, but doesn't mean that he won't win the state. It's just his favorability here is not high, you know. But what's to like about the guy? I mean, really,
Well, he did.
I guess the difference between approval and favorability is that, you know, two different things.
He received more votes than anyone in the history of our state, 58% in 2016. But I doubt that he'll get that kind of support in 2020. But you're right. He will almost certainly carry this great state of Louisiana. And John Kennedy and Bill Cassidy will be cheering him on, as will Steve Scalise and Ralph Abraham and Mike Johnson, Clay Higgins, Garrett Graves. They'll be going, go, Mr. Trump. Jennifer in Lafayette. Hi, Jennifer. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. excuse me. I hope everybody stays safe in the storm. One thing, of course, climate change is an issue, and it affects what I'm about to talk about, which is the Barrier Islands and the receding coastline. And, you know, obviously, I think most people agree that climate change is real. We can kind of differ a little bit maybe on the extent to which human activity causes it or doesn't. But, you know, that aside, here's my thing. I haven't seen any legislation that is going to really deal in a substantive way with the problem of the receding coastline and the lack of barrier islands. And I was wondering if you guys are aware of anything going on in the legislature right now that might address these problems, and I'll take my answer off the air. Y'all stay safe. Bye-bye.
You too, Jennifer. Thanks. And, of course, Lafayette could be affected immensely by this too, but she asked a good question, Lamar.
Yeah, I'm not sure about in the state legislature. You know, obviously we're not in session anymore. One thing that could dramatically help would be the resolution of these lawsuits against oil and gas companies, which have acknowledged that they're liable for at least 38-39% of the damage, which is tens of billions of dollars that could come into the state of Louisiana to rebuild some of the damaged infrastructure in coastal islands. But, you know, like you said earlier, one of the issues we face federally is that our federal delegation, for the most part, are a bunch of climate science deniers who support a president who believes that climate change is a hoax invented by the Chinese.
Mike in New Iberia. Excuse me, Mike, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, and I haven't been on there long, so I don't know what y'all have discussed. But what's y'all feeling on the T-walls? Will they stand the test? That's new technology that hadn't been tested in a storm yet. So I'd welcome to hear your thoughts.
Did you hear his question?
Yeah, about the T-walls. I'm not an engineer. I've read nothing or seen nothing to make me believe that the infrastructure is vulnerable right now.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not.
Yeah.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. You know, St. Bernard Parish was flooded from one end to the other in Katrina. The federal government spent probably $1 billion or more with flood control projects in St. Bernard Parish. And when the Lake Bourne Levy Commission requested a millage increase to maintain the improvements paid for by the federal government, twice the voters in St. Bernard voted it down. Now, I'm sure their flood insurance will go up, but, you know, in the future, when there's another catastrophe in Louisiana, you know, the federal government might not be so willing to spend a lot of money if the people are not willing to maintain the improvements paid for with federal dollars. And I think it was really stupid of St. Bernard not to vote to maintain those improvements, because they have to be maintained or they won't be as effective the next hurricane.
Quite often voters, they vote about the now, and if there were a vote right now, they probably would vote for hurricane protection. But when there's no storm at your front door, people get a little complacent. We know that.
Yeah, and I also think that this is a reflection of general anti-taxation sentiment. I mean, you know, there was a millage renewal in Lafayette, for example, that failed over the library. People just kind of lose the forest for the trees and don't really understand. Just it's easy to say vote against taxes, you know.
877-217-5757 is your number. And if you'd like to send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org will work as well. Lamar White, Frederick Lamar White, Jr., the publisher of the Bayou Brief, is with us, based in New Orleans. And, of course, he, like the rest of us, are hoping that this is not the calamitous affair that it could be. And usually, I'm going to be a bit optimistic, usually these things don't turn out to be as catastrophic as the worst-case scenario would suggest. But there is the worst-case scenario that is a possibility. And, Lamar, I think anybody would be foolhardy not to prepare for the worst-case scenario.
Right, right. And I think no matter where you are, if you live in the on the coast of Louisiana from Lake Charles to, you know, to New Orleans, you should be prepared because you never know how these storms come. I mean, sometimes they take a turn. We're all vulnerable.
877-217-5757 is your number, and Jason Torchinski has agreed to step aside, and we're going to visit with him next week about his book regarding autonomous cars, a big topic, an important one, but at this time, we're going to spend a few more minutes with Lamar White. We'll also hear from Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser if things go according to plan, and we'll be back to talk more about Hurricane Barry, what's likely to be Hurricane Barry, and more after this pause for the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. There is still time to talk with Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief, who follows Louisiana as closely as anybody I know. It's usually from a political slant, but right now he is following Tropical Storm Barry, soon to be Hurricane Barry, if things go according to what has been forecast. 877-217-5757. Chuck and Scott. Chuck, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning. My prayers and hopes are with the people on the coast, but compared to some of the things we've experienced, it's going to be pretty mild for most of us. Anyway, my question is, I'm starting to see a lot of political comments that seem to be truths and half-truths from, particularly regarding the economy in Louisiana. I know that it's better than it was, but I also know that higher education is not fully funded or even near that from Jindal era. Comments on the truths and half-truths that we're seeing already. Thank you.
All right. I think he may be referring to ads that are being played on behalf
right.
of the governor, who, of course, inherited a big mess in hump funding for education, higher education in particular. It's improved dramatically, and teachers are slated to get a very modest raise in other realms of education in our state. But I don't think any of us would suggest, Lamar, that everything has been cured, that this has been a panacea.
Right. No, or that education is funded at the level that we would want it to be funded at. I think there's a difference between saying fully funded. I mean, I know that it's a rhetorical, maybe semantical difference that can trip people up, but I think that he's referring to a commercial that the governor has, and that just refers to the budget, fully funded, you know, which is true. I mean, it's absolutely true. But Bobby Jindal did dramatically cut higher education spending.
All right.
We're not back there.
How do you think the election looks 3 months from today is the primary? Unbelievable, but that's where we are. 3 months from today, 13 weeks from tomorrow, it'll be election day in Louisiana. How does it look?
It to me, it looks like first of all, I'm really surprised that Eddie Rasponi hasn't spent any money. I'm not sure that he will. And Abraham's campaign is just lackluster, frankly. Both of these guys seem to be running a very Washington, D.C. oriented campaign. And that's not the decision that voters are going to make. They're going to make a decision about who represents them in Baton Rouge. So I think, you know, again, I mean, you've asked me this every time I'm on. I think John Bel Edwards has probably now an 85% chance
of winning. What about the runoff, if there is one? There may not be one. Do you think there will be?
Right. I don't think that there will be. I think that he will take it in the primary. But a lot of this will depend on turnout. And, you know, if there's – right now there just doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be a reason for Republicans to turn out and vote. And there's no compelling reason.
Now, Lamar yesterday reminded me that a guest on this show, one time a frequent guest, Ali Akbar, who is now Ali Alexander, he was last on the show 11 months ago, and we have reached out to him, and I think he'll come back. He's not in Baton Rouge as much as he was. He's become a famous Republican blogger, and yesterday he got an invitation to the White House. Did Ali Akbar turned Ali Alexander? What's this about, Lamar?
You know, for folks that may have not been following the story of Kamala Harris and the tweet about her and her racial identity, Ali Akbar, now, like you said, goes by Ali Alexander, wrote something about how she was not really an African-American. And it created a huge controversy. That the president's son shared it and chimed in. And, of course, you know, Ali gets rewarded and goes to this White House social media banquet yesterday. I don't think that the national media has really figured out that this is the same guy that, that you and I both know from Louisiana, and that he once actually worked for Jay Darden's campaign in 2015.
He did. He did.
He
indeed.
Sure did.
But Ali is a sharp guy, and he may very find a home in the national GOP as a strategist of sorts. And in this case, that was almost a missive that Roger Stone could have written.
Right.
Patrick in Inniswold. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
A lot of topics here. I think what Ali was trying to say is that Kamala Harris does not have slave blood. She was never the descendant of a slave. Like Obama, was never a slave, like many African Americans. And then as far as the education, you could throw all the money you want at public education. As long as the unions control it and get a chunk of every teacher's paycheck and keep funding their control of the monopoly education, you can expect a poor public education system. Until we convert to vouchers, that will never be fixed. And then as far as the environment, you guys want to talk about global warming. Flooding is a part of Louisiana. Hurricanes have been hitting Louisiana since the, 1500s, since Columbus came here or whatever. America maybe in general. But, you know, we had flooding back in 1927. We had flooding in 1983. We had flooding in 2016. It's just a part of Louisiana. Unless an asteroid hits the Earth, I don't think we have to worry about global warming.
All right. Well, thank you so much,
okay,
Patrick.
Cool.
All right. Thank you, Lamar White. Always a pleasure. And
Safe. Thank you so much,
Sam. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take
care. We're joined now by His Honor, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana, William Harold Nungesser, who grew up in the New Orleans area, born in that great city. And you and I are old enough to remember Hurricane Betsy. And if I remember right, Billy Nungesser, that was a Category 5. And we're all lathered up about a Category 1, and for good reason. I'm not discounting it. But imagine, it's that old thing, it could be worse, it could be worse, it could be worse. But it's something we have to deal with, and right now we've got to handle Barry. How well are we doing it?
You're right. I'm down in Plaquemines Parish right now. I was out at the lakefront this morning. The winds are kicking up. The unknown with the river being so high. The thing that when you call for a mandatory evacuation, you've got to take into account, of course, the safety of people first. But like in Plaquemines Parish, when you do a mandatory, now the plants have to shut in. It's expensive. And then you have to evacuate the nursing homes. And when you move those elderly people any distance, it's not easy on them, and sometimes you risk losing people that way. So it's a tough call sometimes. You want to make sure you're acting in the best interest of all the citizens for their safety first, but it's a juggling act of what to do when. And then, as many times when we've called evacuations and nothing happens, people are less likely to leave the next time.
Well, you have been through this, as have many of your cohorts in Plaquemines Parish, and I think that has some advantage, but when you get down to it, you got to handle what comes, and what comes could be very unpleasant. Are we collectively as a state ready?
Oh, for this event, I think absolutely. We always prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Even when you're looking at the bands of rains, the projections of, 12 to 15 inches, the way I see it on the radar, it's spread out to where the heavy rain that's come through this area thus far, and it's not a sure yet, but they're widespread out and there's a lot of gaps between them, which gives time for the water to be pumped out and moved to where it needs to move. So I just don't see, I hope I'm right. You always run the chance of a heavy band staying over one area for some period of time. But I just don't let your guard down. But it doesn't appear to be, especially for the region I'm in now, as it comes ashore, New Iberia, if it increases speed, we may see something different.
Is flooding the major concern? This is going to be a wind event too, but as stated, not a heavy type hurricane, not a Katrina, not a Betsy, not an Andrew, but still, which is more potent, wind or rain in this case?
Well, I think it's the rain, and the projections of storm surge. Obviously, if you're outside any flood protection, you're going to get some water on the roads and there'll be some minimal flooding. And that's why you've seen so many people move inside those flood walls and all the low-lying areas. But I think the threat on the Mississippi River is past, unless something changes. We're not going to see a dry water up the river. We were concerned of that because the unusual high river, we've never had to deal with a storm with this high of river. So I think early on that was the concern of it either pushing or slowing the water and backing it up over the levees. But I think the direction of the storm and the wind speeds, that threat has pretty much passed us by.
You had to run to your old heartland, didn't you?
Well, my wife was at the home with the animals. I had to go check on her, and last night I rode the levees to look at the condition of them. You know something they don't realize? Every inch over about 10 inches of grass on that levee, you lose, I believe the Corps says, an hour of the ability to overtop without having levees deteriorate. And I saw it for one of my storms where we had the levee about 18 inches and it ate 3- and 4-foot holes within the first hour on the backside of the levee. And I'm going to have a talk with the officials down here because the levees are not being maintained.
Well, Governor, we've got a roll, but thank you so much, and we'll be checking in. Thanks for what you're doing. We'll be back after this timeout on Talk Louisiana.